Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Mom, Dad, have you guys ever left for a trip? And you're leaving your kids with Grandma? And before you leave, you have these things that you tell your kids. Now, you have been talking to them the whole trip to Grandma's, but right before you go, you tell them the critical things, the things that they cannot, better not, forget. You know what I'm saying? Listen. You listen to Grandma. Listen to what she says. If she tells you to do something, you listen to it. Whatever food she puts on your plate, you eat it all. And you tell Grandma thank you for it. All these critical instructions, right? Do what she tells you. If you need anything, just call me. I'll have my phone with me the whole time. You can call me anytime you need anything. And I will be back in 3 days, okay? 3 days. I love you. I hope you have a great time. These are the last things that we tell our kids when we leave them, right? This is exactly what Jesus is doing with his disciples. I'm leaving. But this is what I want you to remember. This is important. The first thing he says, if you go back up, verse 18, he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." All power, all authority is given. Hey guys, listen, I'm going, but don't forget, I'm still in control. I have all power, all authority. While you may not see me, know that I'm still in control of everything that happens. Trust me and listen to what I tell you. What does he tell them? Verse 19, I want you to go everywhere. I want you to teach people about me. Show them what it means to follow me. And then help them to follow me the way you follow me. Teach them how to do it. Live it out in your life and help them to see how to live it out in their life. Make sure you baptize them. And when you do, baptize them in the name of my Father, me, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, let them declare that my Father is that my Father is their Father, this is Jesus speaking, that I am their Savior, their Lord, and the Holy Spirit is in them too, helping them, teaching them, and leading them to follow me. Verse 20, don't just stop there though. Keep teaching them. Help them to follow me in all the ways that I have taught you to follow me. Don't worry, I'm always with you. I will always be with you. I will be with you all the way to the end of the world. This is Jesus' final instructions before leaving us with Grandma. This is what Jesus tells us to do. His final words. And in these final, and here's the thing. Think about this. In these final instructions, Jesus reminded his disciples to baptize those who would follow him. For Jesus, this was important. It was important enough to make sure that he left it in his final instructions. It was not something to be taken lightly. It was important to Jesus. So here's the question, though. Why? Why was it so important to Jesus? Why was it that Jesus wanted to tell his disciples, be sure to teach everybody, follow me, help others follow me, baptize them, and help them to continue to grow? Why was it so important? Well, in order for us to understand the why, it's important to understand the what. What is baptism? What does it stand for? What does it mean? Well, the simplest answer I can give you is something that didn't come from me, something that I read someplace else. Baptism is simply an outward display of a change that happened inside of you. There was a change in you. And you're displaying that change outside of you. It is a, simply put, a testimony. And instead of being said with words, it's being said visually like a picture. That's how we display things. Hey, check this picture out. And this is literally what baptism is. It is a picture, a testimony of something that happened inside of you, a massive change, and you're picturing that change. That change happened when you put your faith in Jesus to save you. And this simple act of baptism, being submerged in the water and then coming up out of the water, displays this amazing salvation that happens to you in all kinds of amazing ways. So we're going to look at it. How does baptism display your salvation? Well, the word baptism actually comes from a Greek word, baptizo, which means to immerse, right? It's a simple word that simply means immerse. So what does this picture of being immersed in the water and then coming up out of the water, what does that display? Well, the first thing it displays is it points to what Jesus did to provide you your salvation. It points to the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make it possible for that change to happen. Here's what I mean. In order for you to have salvation, somebody had to make it available for you. That person, that one who made it available, was Jesus. And baptism displays what Jesus was willing to go through in order to make it possible for that salvation to be your salvation. What did Jesus do? In Romans, it gives a beautiful picture of how baptism points to Jesus. Romans 6, verse 3 says this, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." Here's the picture. When you go in the water, you're pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus' death. You're displaying the picture of Jesus dying on the cross and then being buried in the ground. You're pointing to the picture of Jesus willing to suffer and die in order to give you life. You're pointing to his death. And more importantly, you're pointing to how that sacrifice, that death, was done for you. Jesus died for your sins. And that's the connection that Paul makes next in this verse, verse 4. Verse 4, just the very front part. Therefore, what? We are buried with him by baptism into death. My baptism displays the connection that Jesus' death had to me personally. It isn't just saying Jesus died, but rather it is saying Jesus died for me. It's my salvation that Jesus died for. His death is personal to me. His death made it possible for my sins to be forgiven, for my heart to be cleansed. Baptism is that simple statement. I want people to know that. I want people to know that Jesus died for me, my sins. He died on the cross for me. But the interesting thing is it doesn't just go to Jesus' death. Otherwise, the picture would be incomplete, right? Eventually, you're going to have to get up out of that water. Otherwise, nobody would ever want to get baptized. You know what I'm saying? There's more to the picture. And coming up out of the water continues to tell the story of what? Of Jesus' resurrection. If you keep reading, it says this, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. So many witnesses, even those who did not want to agree that Jesus rose from the dead, had to agree with that. And in the same way that Jesus rose from the dead, I am also, in the same way that I'm connected to Jesus' death, so also am I directly connected to Jesus' resurrection, to his life. In the same way that his death points to how my sins have been forgiven, his resurrection points to the new life that has already been given to me. Do you realize that for those of you who have trusted Jesus as your Savior, you already have eternal life? It's in you. It's in you. You are literally walking in newness of life. It isn't something that you get after you die. It's something that is already in you. This is amazing. You already have it. From the moment I put my faith in Jesus, even now I am walking and living in this new life. Jesus made it so that my eternity is secure in him. And his resurrection gives me that confidence. It's amazing. We trust people's word a lot, don't we? Somebody says something, and if he does it 75-80% of the time, that's pretty good. If a guy says something and he does it 90% of the time, we're like, man, okay, this guy, I can trust him. If he gets down to like 50%, 30%, you're like, he may or may not do it. We'll never know, right? But what happens if somebody says something and every time, literally 100% of the time, what he says happens? He's trustworthy to the max. This is who Jesus is, and this is why we trust him. Literally everything he says, even seemingly impossible things, like Jesus saying before he even goes to Jerusalem, he says, guys, listen, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. We're all going to go to Jerusalem, and guess what they're going to do? I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be tried by the Jewish rulers, and they're going to hand me over to the Romans, and the Romans are going to crucify me. But don't worry, 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life. If some guy says that to you, I mean, you could respect him a lot, right? But if some guy says that to you, you'll be like, okay, that's crazy, right? But literally everything that Jesus said happened to a T. Everything. Impossible things. So when Jesus rose from the dead, it changed everything. He is trustworthy. He is reliable. His resurrection gives me the confidence that I can trust in what he says. There's an amazing passage, and this is what baptism does. It displays that. He's like, you know what? Jesus died for me. He was buried for me, and he rose again. His resurrection happened. And because his resurrection happened, I have life in me. Colossians 2, verse 12 and 13 says it this way. We are buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. God's working, right? And you're trusting in him. That's how you're risen with him. Who hath raised Jesus, him, from the dead? Verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All sins have been forgiven. You've been made alive. And that's what baptism displays. It's the first picture that baptism displays. This is who Jesus is. But there's another picture that baptism displays. There's more to it. And that is, it points not just to Jesus, but it also points to you as one who is in Jesus, who you are as a believer and follower of Jesus. One picture it displays is who Jesus is and what he did in order to give you salvation. The other picture is who you are as a receiver of that salvation. Romans, we're going to go back to Romans and continue that flow of thought in Romans 6. We're going to go to verse 5. It says this, continuing the thought of baptism. For if we have been planted or buried together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Why? That henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Baptism doesn't just display the death of Jesus. Baptism also displays your death. Your death. Not like the death that you might be thinking of, like everybody dies and then, you know, that kind of thing. This is a different kind of death. It's a death from sin. Before your salvation, you were chained, you were bound to sin. You were chained to it. It was your master. It was your master. No matter how hard you tried, you could never escape its lordship over you. You might be able to hide it well, but you could never escape the bondage of sin. And your salvation changed this. You no longer have to be a slave to sin. When your body goes into the water, it's a declaration. I have been given this opportunity to be freed from sin. And with God's help, I am no longer going to let sin be my master. This is what it's talking about. Not that you're never going to sin again, because we all sin every once in a while. We all mess up here and there. But here's the thing. It frees us to no longer have to live for sin anymore. That no longer has to be, I'm only living for the pleasures of the lust of my flesh, the lust of my eyes, and the pride of my life. I have something better to live for. So it lets you escape that bondage. That's the dying part. That's the going into the water part. And the second part, the coming up out of the water part, that's the living part, right? That's the living part. What does that picture say? If you keep reading verse 8, it says this. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Here's the living part. What is that? What is that talking about? This part displays a change in you. It's a new aspect of who you are. And this too is only because of Jesus. This new life has freed you. For what purpose? A purpose that was not yours until salvation. What is it? Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the coming up out of the water part. But what does it mean to be alive to God? What does that look like? What does it mean to be alive to God? Well, if you keep reading, it'll tell you. Verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. That's dying. But verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You have a new master. You have a new Lord. And your new master, your new Lord is amazing. Your old master, the master of sin, only was desiring your destruction. Your new master only desires what's good for you. And you get to display that goodness, display his goodness by choosing to be alive to him and dead to sin. Sin, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want you as part of my life. I'm living for something better than sin. I'm living for God. I want to display God's glory in my life. I want to be able to show other people how amazing and how wonderful God is. And I'm going to do that by following him, by listening to what he tells me and living out the love that he has displayed to me by loving those around me in that same way. This is what it means to be alive to God. Death to sin. I don't want to have any more part of sin. I know every once in a while I'm going to mess up, but I don't want that to be my main focus in life. Rather, I want to live for something better. Dead to sin and alive to God. If your death displays freedom from your sin, your life displays living for God to display His glory. So baptism, first picture, this is who Jesus is. He died for me, and He rose for me. He's alive for me. It also displays who you are because you are in Christ. I'm now dead. This is a declaration. I'm now dead to sin. I don't want to live for sin anymore. I don't have to, but I can live for Jesus. I can display His glory in my life. I have a new purpose for which to live. And there's a third thing, final thing, and I got to hurry. There's a third thing that your baptism displays. And that is the new connection you have with the other believers around you. Galatians tells us this in chapter 3. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Right? Continuing to read, 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Being immersed in the water is a lot like being immersed in Jesus. It displays that. The water covers you. There's no part that the water, once you're like full blown in the water, the water doesn't say, I'm going to keep this little part dry. No, it covers you. It makes you all soaking wet, right? Every part of you is immersed in water. And this is a lot like how you are immersed in Jesus. You put on Jesus and He covers you all over. There is not one part that He doesn't cover you in. Every part. And here's the connection that this passage is making. You are immersed in Jesus in the same way that those around you, the followers of Jesus, are also immersed in Jesus. We're all covered in, we're all wearing the same thing. What is it? Jesus. Jesus is our identity. You know when you go to McDonald's and you know who to talk to about asking somebody, hey, I need a little something for, can you get me a, I need something here or I need something there. You know by their uniform, what they're wearing. And this is how you identify that person with the store. You go to a grocery store, you see somebody wearing the grocery store uniform. Oh, I can talk to this person about it, right? Every once in a while you get to somebody who's literally looking like they're wearing the same thing and say, hey, can I ask you a question about this thing that I'm looking at? And the guy's like, oh no, I don't work here. I'm just having to wear the same clothes. You're like, oh man, come on, really? You know what I'm talking about? This is basically what we're doing is we're identifying, we're covered in the same thing. And that same thing is Jesus. Jesus is our identity. And that identity in Jesus connects us not just to Jesus, but also those others who are in Jesus. It's the identity to Jesus that makes us connected to each other because we all have the same identity, Jesus. Because we are one with Jesus, we are also one with each other. And here's the amazing thing. This verse tells you that identity with Jesus supersedes. It's greater than any other identity you could have. It goes beyond your nationality. Whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Greek, whether you're an American, Japanese, Chinese, it doesn't matter. This is much greater. This is much more valuable. This is much more important. It's better than what you do for a living. Whether you're bond or free, it doesn't matter. Your status in life doesn't matter. It's greater. Even whether you're a man or a woman, whether neither male nor female, doesn't matter. Your baptism displays the best ultimate identity that you could ever have, one who is in Christ. Because I am immersed in Jesus, I am also immersed into the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Later, we're going through 1 Corinthians, right? We're going to kind of see how this identity ties in. But we're going to jump ahead just to kind of get a glimpse of it because of how well it ties in with baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 says it this way. For as the body is one and hath many members, you have one body, and you have all kinds of members, fingers, toes, eyeballs, ears, all those different things. All the members of that one body being many are one body, right? It's your body, every part of you. So also is Christ, verse 13. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized, immersed into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. Everybody's been made to be part of that one body, and it comes because of the Holy Spirit. It is the same Holy Spirit that helps us, that guides us, that teaches us, and teaches not just you, but it's the same Holy Spirit that teaches everybody else and helps everybody else in this room. So here's what, that's what that third picture displays. First picture, who Jesus is. He died for me. He rose for me. Second, it displays a picture of you. I am dying to sin. I am declaring that I am no longer going to try to live for sin, but rather I want to live my life for my new Lord, my new Savior. I have been given life and I want to use it to glorify God. In the third picture, I am immersed in Christ in the same way that my brothers and sisters have been immersed in Christ. My identity in Christ means that I'm also one with my brothers and sisters. All of that is displayed in this one simple act. Going into the water, coming out of the water. What an amazing story it tells. This is who Jesus is. This is who I am. And these brothers and sisters around me are the ones that I am part of now as part of the body of Christ. This is what we get to watch this afternoon as two of our church family will be baptized this afternoon. That's an amazing thing. It's a special thing. So as we watch them be baptized later today, let's celebrate it. It's worthy of being celebrated. Thank God for their decision. And also, let it be a reminder for you, of all of us, of when we were baptized, a reminder of what that declaration, that testimony is for us too. As they get baptized, remember, that's me too. I was baptized. Jesus died for me. He rose for me. I no longer live for sin. I live for Jesus too. And this is also part of my body of Christ. I'm part of that. As we think about that, let's thank God for this amazing way that He allows us to tell His story and our story. Let's pray. Father, the more we understand about the things that you tell us to do, the more we get to kind of get a better glimpse of why it's so important. The story that this simple act of baptism tells is amazing. The reason the story, the image is amazing, is because what it is displaying, that in and of itself is amazing. That you, Jesus, would come to die for us. That you, Jesus, would give us this confidence, this hope of our resurrection. That we have been freed from sin so that we can live for the right purpose. That you have given us this identity, not just in you, but with our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we celebrate that today, help us to be reminded that the story of those being baptized is also our story too. Let us renew in our hearts, no longer to live for sin again, but also to live for Christ. To display His glory in our lives. To love our brothers and sisters as we love ourselves because we are one. The only reason we are one, the main reason, is because we are in you. Help us to love others the way you loved us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.